Connected live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Listen, I don't know how you feel about that conversation, but it's got me all tensed up. And it is a good time to speak to a physiotherapist. I have been hearing a lot from people who are still at work. And I think many of us are still at work. Others will be working throughout the holidays. But the fatigue, I am hearing a lot. People just saying, I am done, done, done. But actually, I've been hearing about this fatigue for months now. It's not only now. I've been hearing about this fatigue for months now. And we got a note, and I thought this was very interesting. We got a note from a physiotherapist who was touching on some of the issues around, have you checked how you're sitting? Have you checked where you're sitting? Have you checked how you're working? Have you checked where your laptop is? Have you checked how you're using your mouse, for instance? And I thought, maybe that's it. Maybe we need to relearn how to work our bodies with the work that's required. I know of a company that literally has got an alarm. It's not like a fire alarm type sound. It's a nicer sound, but compulsory. Every 20 minutes that alarm goes off, and compulsory. In fact, it's automatic. Computers go off temporarily. And the idea is for workers to stand up from wherever they're sitting and 3 minutes, I think it's 3 minutes, between 2 and 3 minutes, walk around, shake your body a little bit, and you can come back to your workstation. It has become compulsory because people in that environment, it's a consulting firm, found that they were working very, very long hours, but the levels of stress and burnout were incredible. And so that was the company's intervention. But maybe you and I can, you know, come up with other interventions. Physiotherapist Kirsten Morse is on the line with us to help us understand, you know, how our body how our bodies work, how we can be more effective in using our bodies. Kirsten, thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, and thank you very much for having me on the show.
So are we not sitting and working right?
Most of us are not sitting and working correctly. And until one understands that you're sitting incorrectly, you don't realize it. So yes, most people are doing their bodies some form of musculoskeletal damage without actually knowing it.
The industries, Kirsten, furniture stores, manufacturers who would tell you about these amazing chairs, but they are usually so expensive. I mean, do you have to be sitting on an expensive chair for you to reap those benefits, or you can sit on a basic bench and learn how to sit?
The ergonomic office chairs should have certain features to make them ergonomic and to support your musculoskeletal system. I find that there are a lot of furniture companies out there that advertise this is an ergonomic office chair.
Yeah.
And people think if it goes up and down vertically, well, that's what makes it an ergonomic chair. And that is not the feature of an ergonomic office chair.
How would I know? Yes.
Yeah, there are a lot of chairs out there, as I said, that look really pretty and aesthetically great, and they match your decor in your office. But the real features of an ergonomic office chair are a backrest that is able to be moved forward, in other words, kind of bend forward or recline back a little bit, so that the lower back part of the chair, which we call the sort of lumbar support, actually fits into the lower back curve of most people's backs. So we've got a little curve in our back in the lower spine, and then our thoracic spine is a little bit curved the other way. So a proper ergonomic office chair, you should be able to sit in with your buttock pushed right back, and that backrest should hug your spine. So you should not be perching on the front of your office chair with a gap between your buttock and the backrest. The other thing that's quite important as well is the what we call the seat or the pan. And most chairs have a too long seat. So people's thighs who aren't really tall land up perching on the front of their office chair.
Hmm.
So there are quite a few features that make up a proper ergonomic office chair. One has to look at the height of the hips versus the knees. The feet need to be properly supported. The arm rests need to be at the right height so that you're not shrugging your shoulders up to your ears. So there are quite a few features that need to come into a proper ergonomic office chair. And that one can find, obviously, on proper ergonomic physiotherapy designed ergonomic office chairs.
And can we talk about the common pain problems that we hear of? People speaking of neck and shoulder being the most common, you know, when they feel like they've worked too long, they're too stressed. Why is the pain there, centralized around the neck and the shoulder area?
So, good question. One of the main reasons, again, is that the person is not sitting biomechanically correctly. So it may be that the chair is too high. It may be that the chair is too low. It may be that you perched on the front of the chair. Maybe that your armrests are the incorrect height. But what tends to happen with a workstation setup, which isn't correct, is that you then start creating what we call fatigue in your muscles of your neck. So it may be that your laptop is incorrectly positioned. It may be that you've got your laptop in front of you and your second screen to your left. And how many hundreds of times your neck might be going left, middle, left, middle, left, middle, left, middle. And then you wonder why you've got a crick in the neck. So it's very, very important to try and set up your workstation ergonomically symmetrical for one. And if you do have two screens, they should ideally either be a little to your right and a little to your left, or the one behind the other, that you are not repetitively twisting your cervical spine or your neck to one side. Because what then happens is you get what we call a repetitive strain injury. This then creates the muscles to fatigue. The body then says, oh, let's pull them into spasm. You then land up getting pain and you go around in a vicious cycle.
And then the correct use of a mouse.
Yes. So one of my favorite phrases is to say, be careful that you don't land up with a runaway mouse. Now, what is a runaway mouse? That's where your mouse starts drifting further and further away from the sort of center of your body, because perhaps you've got your notes in front of you, and then you've got your cell phone, and then you've got your coffee cup, and all of a sudden the mouse lands up being off to your side with your elbow stretched out, your arm quite far forward. And this then can very often create almost like a type of a strain in the wrist and or a type of tennis elbow in the elbow. So my advice is keep your mouse, if you're working on a mouse that is separate to your little laptop pad, try and keep it as close to the midline as possible. And be careful that the mouse isn't too big, because if the mouse is too big, your wrist is basically backwards into extension, which then also creates a repetitive strain on the forearm muscles.
So, of course, you know, the most obvious thing to do generally when you get to this point where everything is tense, everything is painful, and you just want to relax, people just go quickly for the painkiller. And that can be addictive. What can we do, you know, when you start feeling those muscles tense up and you're feeling fatigued and your day still has another 4 hours to go? Are there little exercises we can do?
Definitely. So my first bit of advice would be try to set your workstation up ergonomically, both the desk and the screens that you're working on. Secondly, as I said, go for the best chair that's possible that you can afford, and set that up correctly. And you do get physiotherapists that come in and do ergonomic workstation setups. But the other important thing, as you mentioned earlier on, is that there are some companies where an alarm rings after 40 or 50 minutes and everybody has to get up and do something. If you're not in one of those companies, my best advice is to try and get into a habit where after every hour you try to stand up from your desk, take your head, look over your right shoulder, look over your left shoulder, roll your shoulders back 3 or 4 times. It won't take you more than 5 to 10 seconds. Take your hands, stretch them out in front of you, lift them up above your head, and then sit down again. Also, if you can, get up from your desk to perhaps take a phone call. Instead of sitting taking a phone call, stand up and walk around the desk or walk to the window. So try to break the sometimes 8 hours of sitting that one has at one's workstation. So yes, definitely gentle neck exercises. As I said, a nod, a rotation to the left, looking over your left shoulder, right shoulder, roll the shoulders back. That in itself are some very basic exercises that one can be doing to try and help reduce this repetitive strain where the muscles go into spasm.
And the back usually being another one of those where sometimes it's not just you sitting at the desk, it's probably even how you're sleeping and the kind of mattress you're using.
Yes, very, very correct. I often say to my patients, you know, it's funny how people will choose to spend hundreds of thousands rands on a vehicle.
Yes.
But when I tell them that they must invest in a good mattress and a good office chair, they look at me funny. And I try to say to them, on average, people are sleeping or should be sleeping for 7.5 to 9 hours a night. So invest in a decent mattress. And what is a decent mattress? That's a difficult one because some people prefer softer, some people prefer harder. It's very much up to the individual. Obviously, cushions are very important as well. Those are also very difficult to prescribe because what works for me might not work for you. But basically, try and get comfortable. We were talking about the lower back. Yes, the lower back can be sore for various reasons. Definitely, if your bed is too hard or is too soft, these can contribute to low back problems. And once again, sitting for too long incorrectly at your workstation. And one other thing that I often find people doing is they like to sit cross-legged on one of their feet. And this can often create huge back problems. So you kind of sit and tuck your right ankle under your left thigh. Mm. And that feels very comfortable. And then you come to me and ask me, why is your back sore? Well, because you can't sit like that again and again and again. So again, good exercise, a couple of stretches. Obviously, it goes without saying that movement and flexibility is key to trying to counter the often 13 to 15 hours a day that we're sitting. And fairly recently, sitting has now been classified as a disease.
Really?
Yep.
Oh,
it's now listed as a disease because of over-sitting creates so many problems with our organs, with our musculoskeletal system, with our breathing.
I've got to tell you, because so as you said it, my producer stood up.
There we go.
To move a little bit. My goodness, it's incredible because, I mean, it's become such a habit that everybody's sitting, people in the classrooms are sitting, people at work are sitting, everybody's sitting. We sit while we travel. We no longer walk to destinations. So it's become such a common feature in our lives that I think, of course, you know, it must be a problem.
Absolutely. And if I can just give you a little figure. So in our lower back, we have 5 vertebrae, which are called the lumbar spine. And the highest one is called lumbar vertebra 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And they did a study where they measured the newtons in the disc, which is the cushion between the vertebra. So the lumbar third disc load, when you are lying on your back in your comfortable bed, the load on the disc is 250 newtons. When you are standing comfortably, this goes up to 500 newtons. And when you are bending forward while sitting, which almost everybody does incorrectly, this goes up to 1,000 newtons. So lumbar disc 3 carries 1,000 newtons of, of force when you are sitting, leaning forward, as opposed to sitting correctly upright. And then you wonder when, after 8 hours times 5 days a week at least, why you've got backache.
You spoke about fancy mattresses and that we must invest in them. What about pillows?
Yes. So as I said, pillows, also very difficult to prescribe pillows for people. Mm. Some love the memory foam, some don't like them very much. My best advice is don't sleep on your stomach, because it means that your neck is rotated to either the right or the left for a number of hours that you're sleeping.
Yes.
So lying on your stomach is unfortunately not a good posture or position for your neck. Best is to lie on your side and on your back. And if you're lying on your side, ideally your neck and your thoracic spine, which is the area sort of between your shoulder blades and your lumbar spine, should be parallel to the ground. So if your cushion is too high, your neck is going to be bent up to the ceiling. If your cushion is too low, your neck is going to be bent down to the mattress. And either of those then will create strain on what we call the facet joints, which are part of the vertebra. Again, if you're lying on your back, you want your natural, what we call cervical curve, just to have a little S sort of shape curve in the neck, a little bit of an S in the thoracic spine and an S in the lumbar spine. So from your head to your thoracic spine to your lower spine should be a gentle S. If your neck pillow is too high, you're going to be in a flexed position. So your chin is going to be on your chest. Mm. That's going to create, again, too much stress at the back. If your neck cushion is too low, then your chin is going to be up to the ceiling. Then it's going to create another kind of tension in your spine. So it's quite difficult to get this position right. And it's pretty much, I would say, a bit of trial and error.
What causes pins and needles?
So in my experience, most pins and needles are caused by some irritation of the nerve. Mm. There are some cases where it's caused by the circulatory system, but most of it's because there's a bit of irritation on the nerves. So the nerves exit on the left and on the right of your spine. Mm. So every vertebra has a nerve coming out sort of on the underside of it. Now, once again, if you are in an awkward position for your skeletal system, it may create an undue pressure on the nerve, and the muscle may then tighten up a little bit. Because the nerves in the neck supply the arms, you then often land up with the pins and needles in the arms. Mm. The nerves of the lower back supply the legs, and you may land up with pins and needles in the legs if you've compromised your nerve in a certain position that you're lying. Mm. So generally, pins and needles are caused by irritation of nerve, either because it's inflamed or because it's being irritated by a spasmed muscle which it's traveling through.
Is everybody meant to be running? In other words, there are people you'll hear who complain about joint problems, you know, so the I suppose it's the pressure on the road, on the surface, would cause joint problems. Is there something else there to worry about when people complain about what the impact of running does to their joints? Or is it just because, you know, not all of us are meant to be running?
A very good question. I think it's a difficult one to answer, because running is so beneficial to so many people psychologically. Mm. And it's one of the ways that a lot of people cope with their stress. Mm. However, as with many things in life, if done in absolute excess, we can upset some of our joints. And I think if we were all perfectly symmetrical and we all ran and our feet were perfectly symmetrical, which would mean our ankles, our knees, our hips, our backs, then we could all run forever. But the truth of it is, we are all slightly unbalanced. And I found over my years of physio that sometimes the more a person runs, the more their body's weakest link may come out. So it's a difficult one to answer, but I've found, as I said, that sometimes people will run and run and run and run and run, and all of a sudden they'll come in with knee pain. And then we start looking at their biomechanics and we realize that their feet are rolling too much in or rolling too much out. And then you have to start saying, well, what are we doing to the joints through this repetition of the pounding of running? So it's a difficult one, like I said, to answer, because there's so many positives to it. But watch out for your joints, because I often say to my patients, if you have a vehicle and you have the best wheels, but your axle is out of alignment, you're going to wear your best wheels incorrectly. And, you know, the tread is going to wear more on the inside or the outside. So in the same way, after 100,000 Ks on your wheels, your one wheel is going to weigh a bit more than your other one. And so in our bodies, this can sometimes happen as well.
Please let's talk about the importance of wearing the right shoes.
Okay, so that's actually a good question for podiatrists.
Yes.
Because they really are the best in shoes. My best answer there would be, if you are experiencing hip or knee or back problems, my advice would actually be to see a podiatrist so that they can assess the biomechanics of your motion and then guide you on whether you need a shoe that's a little bit what we call anti-pronation or anti-supination, meaning you don't roll out or you don't roll in. So I tend to refer my patients to podiatrists who are specialists that work with the mechanics of the feet.
Fair enough. I want to talk about inflammation and how someone like yourself, for instance, can assist with other things. Of course, I know diet as well can be incorporated into dealing with inflammation, but perhaps maybe some exercises you can advise on with regards to inflammation.
Okay. Are you referring to inflammation anywhere in the body?
What's the most common you're seeing?
Sure. It depends on what the person has done with their body.
Okay.
So let's just say I do get a patient who has got muscle spasm and inflammation in their neck area.
Yes.
One of the things that I tend to caution against a little bit is overstretching the injured area. So I found in my 35 years of physio that sometimes somebody will come in, they've got a bit of inflammation or spasm in their muscles, and they've been stretching, you know, pulling their neck down, sort of, you know, nose to armpit, and they're just not getting better. So obviously after doing a full assessment and taking a history and so on, often at the end of the treatment we'll say to them, don't take your joint to its end of range of motion and stretch it like crazy, because you're almost adding insult to injury.
Mm-hmm.
So I often say to them, rather mobilize it. So turn your head a little bit to your right and then sort of nod down a couple of times, as opposed to pull the head to the right and then feel that stretching going down the back of your neck and into your sort of shoulder. So I have found over the years that sometimes stretching on an inflamed structure, even if I give you an example of sciatica, so that's when a person has referred pain usually down the back of their leg, which is from an irritated nerve in the lower back. And they'll sometimes come to me and say, oh, I've got this pain down the back of my leg. I've been stretching and stretching and stretching and it's not getting better. And then I'll often say to them, let's just back off from the stretching, because the joint is irritated, the muscle is irritated, the nerve is irritated, and now you're just pulling this poor dude even further apart. And often by just backing off and doing what I love calling windscreen wiping. So you lie on your back, your knees are bent, your feet are sort of on the floor or on the mattress, whichever surface you're lying on. And you just let your knees and hips sort of like windscreen wipers of a car rock to the left and rock to the right. There we are mobilizing the vertebra of the spine instead of stretching the nerve through an already tightened structure. So that's my advice for inflammation. Yes, obviously, I do also sometimes, if the person has safely taken an anti-inflammatory medication before, I will ask them if they have, you know, been prescribed one by the doctor, obviously check medical history. But I do find that your anti-inflammatories do support some of these inflammatory muscles and joints as well.
Just lastly, I want us to talk about warming up and stretching before and after exercise and how important that is.
Right. So there's a little bit of different research on whether one should or shouldn't stretch before exercise now. That seems to be coming through a little bit, that sometimes the stretching before exercise is no longer the ideal thing to do. Mm. I personally still think a little bit of loosening up again, like I said, a little bit of mobility of the joints together with a bit of stretching, because you must remember every muscle goes over a joint. Mm. So by mobilizing the joint, you're getting a bit of stretching. So I personally feel a little bit of stretching before you head off on a run or before you head off on a cycle or whatever you're going to do is still better than nothing. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, stretching as well. Again, I tend to find that some people overstretch when they're finished, and that sometimes agitates the structures that have now cycled 100 kilometers and they're a little bit inflamed. Mm. So again, I caution a little bit with overstretching, because sometimes if you pull the muscles too long, too hard, they rebel and they tighten up. So again, everybody's got their own recipe for what works for them, but I would still say a little bit of mobilization, loosening up before and afterwards, that would be what I would advise my patients to do.
Kirsten, I really appreciate you giving us your time this evening. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me on the show. Keep standing up every hour,
hey? We will. This is our health and wellness feature today, brought to us by Kirsten Morse. She's a physiotherapist.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.